actually, even though Assyria ends up being the nation to destroy them, it was a lot of times they looked for help from Assyria. And that's, God says, why don't you look at me? Why don't you turn to me instead of some pagan nation with pagan false gods? It goes on and says, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say anymore to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. In other words, repentant Israel would no longer look to Assyria. They would no longer put their faith in horses. How many times remember reading that? That the psalmist says not to put your faith in horses or in princes, but in the Lord. And also they would no longer put faith in false gods. And I think it was Jehu was one of the most ridiculous examples of that. God gives him the kingdom and gives him victory, and then he turns around and starts worshiping idols. Just people are crazy. But look over at Acts 26. And we see the New Testament equivalent of this call to repentance. Acts 26. When someone is truly repentant, you're gonna see change. Not to be saved, but because they are saved. Amen. And Acts 26:1, we see there that it's Paul in the context. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but we come down to verses 20 and 21. This is Paul speaking. That's starting in verse 19. It says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And then verse 20, read that with me. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So there it is again that God is calling on Israel and then also the Gentiles to repent. Repentance produces works. Not, he doesn't say do works as repentance. He says, do works meet for repentance. Meaning, if you're truly repentant, there's going to be evidence of it. And that's why I tell you, there's people that in my life through the years, it starts with me. When I got saved, I was repentant, and I went to those people that I felt I owed an apology to. I went to anybody who thought I needed to reconcile with or make reparations of some sort. When I see somebody claiming to be saved and I don't see any of that, I just don't buy it. I can't imagine having been saved not to turn around with humility and try to make things right. Amen. But there's a lot of people that do that. But look at verse 21. How did the Jews in the book of Acts, the leaders especially, respond? Verse 21 says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And that they not only killed Jesus Christ, crucify him, and the Romans did the deed. And not only that, but then in the book of Acts, they tried to kill the apostles, including Paul. And so without repentance, God now describes what will happen when Israel eventually does repent. And this now reads like a breath of fresh air. After all, you know, you read all this stuff about God basically saying, you're going to get it. I'm going to come down hard on you. I mean, you're going to have your babies dashed to pieces. You're going to, you know, eat your own, all this stuff. It's nice to see that in the end, there's going to come a healing. In the end, there's going to come a revival in Israel. It will be one third of the Jews that go into the tribulation. Two thirds will die. But it will be a great moment because from that point on, there will be no more backsliding. There will be no more apostasy in Israel. Look at there, verse 4. Back in Hosea 14, 4 and 5, read both of those, read them with me. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Now, I mean, that's going to be a wonderful time. Mine anger is turned away from him. That right there is a wonderful thing. I'm not a Jew, and I won't be in Israel. But it's something about another thing about being saved. I just think if you're truly saved by the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, then it just immediately, I believe you'll love the Jews. You know, no one ever had to lecture me on loving the Jews. And after I got saved, one of the first attempts of Satan to pull me out of the truth was to pull me into the Christian identity movement. Because it sounds good. Christian identity. It's not Christian identity, it's white identity. It's like the KKK, only they're just a different organization started by a different man. They have their own newspaper. That's where I started getting these newspapers. Somebody signed me up, paid for a subscription, sent them to me. And at first I was like, wow, this is exciting, because the first few articles sounded good. Then all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I don't think they use those words the same way Christians do. I just realized there's something wrong about things they were saying. And then one thing led to another, and I wrote them and told them to keep their newspaper. I didn't want it anymore. But no one had lectured me on loving the Jews. And to be honest with you, I hadn't been sitting under good teaching, because, you know, I'd moved up to Columbus and had only been attending a decent church for a few months, a few weeks before moving to Columbus. And when I got up here, it was a church that was evangelical and very loving and everything, but there was no teaching. And then this happened. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit just pricked my heart and said, there's something wrong with this. Yeah. And I don't know, I try not to base anything just on my own experience, but as I read the Word of God, I just think that anybody who is saved and has the Spirit of Christ in them, Christ is a Jew. Christ is the Jewish Messiah. How then are you going to hate his people? Amen. You feel sorry for them because so many of them have rejected him. And some of the stuff you see, it's disgusting. You see gay pride parades in Jerusalem. It makes you want to vomit. Amen. But you still love the Jews. And you look forward to the day when they turn to God. Well, we're seeing the shadow of these prophecies in post-1948 Israel. Look there at verses 6 and 7. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. And that's how Israel in the land now, even though they're still mostly lost and a lot of wicked things about it, but they are irrigating deserts. They've drained the marshes and the swamps. And they're, I believe, the world's largest exporter of flowers. It was, yeah. And
they produce a lot of produce for Europe.
Yeah, and isn't it oranges and what do you call that? Citrus. If you told, I'll tell you one person, if you could get in a time machine and go back to Mark Twain, Samuel Crenshaw, Clemens. I don't know why I always want to call him Crenshaw. Get that in my head and can't get it out. Samuel Clemens, who was known as Mark Twain, if you had to get in a time machine and go back and tell him that, he would laugh at you.
Yeah.
His descriptions of that country and when the terrain and everything, when he saw it, he didn't think they'd ever be able to do anything with it.
Yeah.
And that's true. Without God. But God's in this thing. So this is all conditioned on repentance and faith. It's all conditioned on repentance and faith. The gospel and Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the gospels and Acts, were God's offer to Israel to obtain these blessings. Let that sink in for a second. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, when Jesus was on the earth, and then after he was even crucified, he rose again, he ascended to heaven. And then all throughout what you read in the book of Acts, God was offering these blessings. It's just amazing. Because you just see that they just have no desire. I want to read one more place. Acts 20. Acts, I think I got that right. Did we already read that?
No.
No, okay. Acts 20. Verse 16 says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost." I mean, his heart was in it. Paul, we've been reading about in our Sunday school studies, Romans, where he basically said he'd be willing to go to hell for the souls of his brethren.
Amen.
His heart was in it. Verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, 'You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many," what?
Tears
and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the who?
The Jews.
See there? His heart's in it. He loves these people. He's trying to reach them, and they just hate him. They're trying to kill him. Verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house," what? Read verse 21 with me. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance and faith.
Amen.
Just like we're reading in Hosea 14, here comes the Apostle Paul doing exactly what the prophets before him had done, doing exactly what Jesus had done, and they just kept saying, "No, no, no." So we come back to verse 7, or verse 8 in Hosea 14. And what we're about to read is a prophecy, and it still awaits fulfillment. Still, it's been up to this point, it's around 2,700 years.
Wow.
2,700 years. Or if you're Joe Biden, it's 27 million. Just said. So verse 8 says, "Ephraim shall say, 'What have I to do anymore with idols?'" You know what? They really have pretty much done that. Israel and the Jews, even the reformed, conservative, liberal types, they don't take part in idol worship. They still reject their Messiah. But that's why I say this is already coming to pass, this mindset. "Ephraim shall say, 'What have I to do anymore with idols?'" Nothing. "I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found." We were just talking about how Israel has become number one exporter of flowers, but also one of the main exporters of citrus fruit. I'll say this. We're seeing this as like a shadow, but we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, first of all, the land that Israel has right now is about a fourth of what they will have. You talk about Lebanon. Right now, Lebanon doesn't belong to Israel. It will. And all the way Negev and what's called Jordan today and into from the Euphrates over to the Mediterranean. And we've got a map. I could actually have that blown up in a poster and put on the wall.
Amen.
I think I need to do that.
Thank you.
For the most part, though, Israel has turned from idols, as I said, but they still have not turned to Christ. And Hosea closes his prophecy asking this question in verse 9. Read verse 9 with me. "He is wise, and he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." The majority in Israel is made up of such foolish, godless transgressors that verse ends with. "But the transgressors shall fall therein." And they keep falling and keep falling and keep falling. And they're going to keep falling. And during the tribulation, Daniel 70th week, 2/3 of them are going to keep falling.
Yeah.
But I got news for you, folks. Gentiles, there's a lot more of us. But you talk percentages, it's not much better. The percentages of Gentiles in this world today, there's almost the full 7.5 billion fall under the Gentile label. How many of them are saved?
Yeah,
I mean, you got people who say there's a billion.
No.
I don't think for a minute there's a billion, but even if there were, that's less than 1 in 7.
Yeah.
I think it's probably less than maybe around 1 in 20. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? It's real simple. The Bible believer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's all you got to be. You don't have to have a particular color of skin. You don't have to come from a particular country. You don't have to be a certain age. You have to just be conscious. You don't have to have a certain amount of money or belong to a certain organization, any of the above and any other things. You just have to be a Bible believer. Because then when you hear the gospel preached, that means you believe. This is God's word. Preach the gospel. I believe it. Then from that point on, you believe the Bible and you're wise.
Amen.
Jessica?
And you don't have to know.
No, you have to be a Bible believer, not a walking encyclopedia. As a matter of fact, I thank God, because I was a whole lot smarter 20 years ago. I'm just humble enough to tell you, I forget so much. And it's a lot of times I'm learning something, I'm like, wow, that's, wait a minute, I think I knew that once. How many of you do that? And you're reading the Bible, you're like, oh, wow, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I remember, I should know that. It gets worse with age.
Yep.
The point is, be a Bible believer. And that way, maybe you learned it, you believed it 20 years ago, you forget it, and you land again on it 20 years later, and you're like, oh, and you believe it again. That's how it works. Yeah. The point is to be a Bible believer. It's all in attitude, really. It's attitude. Absolutely.
That if you have asked Christ to be your Savior,
you're saved.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and sadly, there are some who go into dementia or other types of brain disease and they just totally become a different person. They're still saved.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, you know, they're not in their right mind. They're not going to be held accountable for that. Just like I believe that any child who hasn't become conscious enough to know right from wrong and their need for salvation. That's why babies go to heaven.
Amen.
And that's the reason why, I'll be honest with you, the reason why there aren't very many Christians, of all the anti-abortion people who have committed violence, very few of them even professed faith in the gospel. There was that, I'm going to forget his name, there's a guy down in the Carolinas. And he had shot a doctor, and his name's not going to come to me, but they would always refer to him as a Christian. And if you read his own statements, he was an anti-Christian. He totally did not believe. His reason for being against abortion was more of an evolutionist idea that we have to preserve the race and the human race sense. Eric Rudolph, I think is his name. But no, not that one. But Eric, yeah, I think it was Eric Rudolph. And he shot an abortionist, everybody say he was a Christian. Why? The reason why we're not out shooting people and bombing clinics is not only because, obviously, that wouldn't be biblical on the surface, but we also believe that those babies are going to heaven.
Amen.
And so that would change things dramatically if we believed some of the hyper-Calvinists. And, you know, that. Because they teach that babies aren't necessarily going to heaven. And so if I was one of them, I might be tempted to do something radical to save babies. But the minority will eventually win.
Amen.
We are a minority. There's the majority of human beings alive today and the majority who've ever lived. Let's look at that in Matthew 7 before we close it up. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If you there, read both verses, beginning verse 13 with me. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. One of the most insane things that is taking over Christianity today is this thing called Christian Universalism, where they will tell you that they believe Jesus saves and Jesus is the only true Savior of the world, but then go on to say that they believe that everyone is already saved and that everybody ends up in heaven. And people like Bullinger and others went so far they even said Satan will end up being saved. And you say, how do you get there? It's a road traveled of totally not believing the King James Bible to begin with, changing it to say what you want it to say, and ignoring context in passages and developing this crazy idea. But one of the craziest things about it is there's numerous places, including this one, where Jesus says, few there be that find it. Personally, I'm not happy about that, and I don't think God is either. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish. But God believes in freedom. He's not a Democrat. The Democrat Party believes in controlling speech and censorship and controlling everything you say and do. Jesus believes in freedom. And He's not a Republican either. He's a libertarian. He's more of a libertarian than He is anything. Why? Because He's, if you want to go to hell, go to hell. That's Jesus. You want to go to heaven? I've cleared the way. You don't, not only do you not have to do anything, you can't do anything except repent toward God with faith toward who? And so Jesus is, what did He also say? No man. And what does He say about setting you free? Yeah, so Jesus is all about freedom. Jesus is all about you. But what He's saying, though, is that few people choose freedom. And it's just true. It's just true. Look at this country. People are choosing slavery. People are choosing socialism. And that is just playing out in our culture the same way it is already in their hearts, because they are choosing to be slaves to sin instead of turning to Jesus Christ.
Did you? Like the children of Israel when they left Egypt.
Like,
oh, we should go back to Egypt. Yeah, we were slaves, but
here
we have food.
Yeah.
They didn't give
them
freedom.
Yeah.
Silver platters.
And
they wanted to
come
back.
All because of the menu.
That's it.
Doug?
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
They don't want to be free, they want
to be fed. Yeah. What is it? Patrick Henry, give me freedom or give me death.
That's right.
And today's American says, I'm cool with slavery, just take care of me. That's today's American.
Yeah.
I'm cool with slavery, just take care of me. I'm going to vote for the politician who says he's going to give me free food and free college and free health care and free. Satan doesn't use that word the same way Jesus does. When Satan says free, look out. So the closing question, will you stand for Jesus and Bible truth with the minority? And folks, it's getting real. Standing with the Bible puts you in a very small minority these days.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeing you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Jesus loves me, the